Hare Krishna. Morning, dear devotees. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. I'm hoping you can hear me. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you. I had computer issues again. That's why I'm a little bit late. Seems to be standard, but I thought it was a software issue, but I don't know what it is, but it's working. Prabhupada is not here. Forgive me, I'm going to use the harmonium today. And I haven't figured out the logistics yet if I use the harmonium and where to put Prabhupada, but I'll try to figure it out by tomorrow. I got a request from Yadubar today because it's the first day of Kartik. He asked if I would please chant Damodarastakam today. So, I've agreed, although he didn't know it until now. And I was going to do it at the beginning, but the devotee who's going to come play Mridanga is not available until a little bit later. So we'll start our session as usual, and we'll end a little bit earlier so that we can chant Dhammadharastakam, probably around in about 45 minutes or so. So, the last time we had class, today's Saturday? Yeah, okay. I seem to recall the last time I gave class, it must have been Wednesday, and I was going to read the verse that we're going to do today, but I didn't. Because I ended up speaking about Jasomati Nandan Prabhu for the whole session. And I spoke a little bit about, I referred to the verse that we were going to speak about then, but I didn't really expand on the verse. And so we'll begin today with Brihadbhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 86. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Govardhanaya tasmin nijapiyatamaspade svayam eva bhavam tata jayantakyasate guru. Translation. Dear boy, in that divine district of Govardhan, my most beloved abode, I myself became your guru, known by the name Jayanta. I'll just read the translation to the previous verse, which leads up to this verse. You showed me no mercy, and as I considered this, I grew impatient, full of anxiety to receive your favor. So I transgressed my eternal code of conduct and arranged for you to take your current birth. Dear boy, in that divine district of Govardhan, my most beloved abode, I myself became your guru, known by the name Jayanta. Commentary. The Lord does not interfere with the independence of the rebellious jivas. He mostly leaves the responsibility for reforming them to the Vedas and Vaishnavas. But ultimately, it is his mercy that saves the conditioned souls. The Supreme Lord interfered with Gopakumara's karma by making Gopakumara take birth at Govardhan Hill. In the words of Lord Brahma, Yesham Saisha Bhagavan Dayayed Ananta Sarvatmana Shrita Paro Yadi Nirvyalikam Te Dushtaram Atitaranti Cha Deva Mayam Naisham Amadham, Naisham Amaham Iti Di Svashigala Bhakshye. Anyone specifically favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead due to unalloyed surrender unto his service can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion and understand him. But those who are attached to the body, which is meant to be eaten at the end by dogs and jackals, cannot do so. Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 7th Chapter, 42nd Verse. Only when the Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, grants his unconditional kindness can one take wholehearted refuge of the Lord's lotus feet and cross beyond the ocean of illusion, otherwise impossible to cross. In this verse from the 2nd Canto, the verb atitaranti, they cross beyond, is followed by the word cha, and, which implies that besides liberation, the surrendered devotees of the Lord also achieve Sri Vaikuntha, an attainment that makes liberation seem unimportant. Thus, Vaikuntha can be attained by those whose self-identification resides not in the material body, fated to be eaten by dogs and jackals, but in the company of the Supreme Lord's dedicated servants. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksho Om Manitamni Natasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Hukam Karoti Vachalam Bhungam Langayati Garim Yakripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gaurvani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadardhar Shivasiddhi Gaurda Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing with Lord Narayan's conversation with Gopakumar. Here we find that the Lord seems to be clearly indicating that, as I alluded to about a week ago, that there was some special dispensation of mercy. I talked about the special mercy. I believe that Srila Prabhupada indicated that he was eager to give to devotees. He wanted to give special mercy, beyond mercy. And it seems, and I say it seems because I've studied this commentary. I've studied other references about which I will speak this evening from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And I've read some references at the request of Shivaram Maharaj from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because we speak to each other from time to time. And I took advantage of my last conversation with him, which was just a few days ago, to discuss my understanding, because he's also quite absorbed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In fact, his latest publication, which he told me a few days ago, which is being published right now, 980 pages is about, mostly about Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I think it's called Sankalpa Kaumudiya. I think that's the title of the book. And it's gone to the publisher and it's going to be coming out soon. And we also spent a substantial amount of time during Kartik last year reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita together. And generally, whenever we converse, I always look forward to the opportunity to discuss these different subject matters with him. And he steered me in the direction of these particular verses of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu for what I was trying to more completely understand. I understood this is special mercy. And it's clear, special mercy. I have no doubt that Lord Krishna gave special mercy. And I was looking for references which indicate special mercy. One I was aware of. In fact, I'll even read it because it's right in the Nectar of Devotion, where Prabhupada talks about a special dispensation of mercy from a, it's in chapter 17 about ecstatic love. And he says that elevation to this stage of ecstasy can be possible in two ways. One way is by constant association with pure devotees. The other way is by the special mercy of Krishna or by the mercy of a pure devotee of Krishna. So this is actually a reference which Shiva Ramaraj said is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is in the first wave, third chapter, text number 6, where Rupa Goswami describes there are three ways by which one can achieve bhava. He says, by the mercy of a devotee, by sadhana, by the mercy of the Lord, and by the mercy of the devotee. So there's references right there where those three sources are inspiration, mercy, whatever we may be looking for to describe it. But there are three ways by which one can achieve bhava or ecstatic love for the Lord. And there's obviously a distinction made because there's three. One is by the mercy of the devotee and another is by the mercy of the Lord. So we may say that the mercy of the devotee is the mercy of the Lord. And it's true. The mercy of the devotee is the mercy of the Lord, because if we read in Madhurya Kadambini, there's a very, very detailed explanation of how the mercy from the Lord comes. It's manifest through the devotee, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the causeless nature of devotional service. He says causeless is that it's not pious activities which one is able to achieve bhakti. It's bhakti which gives bhakti. And he gives various detailed explanations that saying that the bhakti in the heart of a devotee is the catalyst which awakens bhakti in the heart of, let's say, the non-devotee or the aspiring devotee. And therefore, he says the Lord's mercy follows the devotee who wishes to give the Lord's mercy to that devotee, which makes it causeless mercy, because bhakti causes bhakti. There's nothing else. There's no other way to get bhakti except bhakti, so it's causeless. Bhakti, causeless bhakti. It's not pious activities. It's not anything else. It's causeless mercy. And which can ultimately, which comes from the Lord. And of course, the devotee is the best carrier of that mercy. So sometimes we may say that, yes, we're getting the Lord's mercy by the mercy of the devotee. And but yet Rupa Goswami says there's three. There's by sadhana, by the devotee, and by the Lord, which seems to indicate that the Lord dispenses mercy. And Rupa Goswami says the usual way to get mercy is by association with a devotee. To get mercy from the Lord, he uses the word, is very rare. Very rare. And that's why Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, which is the reference which I was about to start to read, and I just wanted to explain behind it why I'm reading it. Prabhupada gives the example in the Nectar of Devotion, and I'll continue to read it. He says, the other way is by the special mercy of Krishna or by the special mercy of a pure devotee of Krishna. Elevation to the ecstatic stage of life is generally attained through association with pure devotees, while elevation to that stage by the special mercy of Krishna or his devotee is very rare. The purport, special mercy, the purport is that one should execute devotional service rigidly in the association of devotees so that there will be certainty in raising oneself to that ecstatic position. In special cases, of course, there is special favor from Krishna. And although we should always expect that, we should not sit idly and simply wait for Krishna's special mercy. The regular duties must be performed. It is just as when sometimes it is found that a person who never attended school or college may be recognized as a great scholar, or an honorary degree from great universities may be offered to him. But this does not mean that one should avoid school and expect to automatically receive an honorary degree from some university. Similarly, one should devoutly execute the regulative principles of devotional service and at the same time hope for Krishna's favor or for his devotee's favor. Okay, so that is Nectar of Devotion. And as I said, the background evidence from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are those verses which I quoted, that that mercy can be achieved by sadhana. And sadhana, of course, means association with devotee. It's not that sadhana, very rarely does one have sadhana without association with a devotee. And the example is even given in Nectar Devotion of Narada Muni, how Narada Muni, I think he gave his mercy to Dhruva Maharaj, and he engaged in sadhana. Narada Muni engaged in sadhana also when he was meditating upon the Lord, and therefore the Lord appeared before him. And that was a result, of course, of the mercy of his stepmother, of his mother, and who encouraged him to take up that sadhana and gave him that instruction, became Bharata Pradarshaka Guru. So generally, sadhana is a result of association with devotee, which is emphatically stated in many places, which means hearing from devotees. But sometimes there's sadhana, association with devotees, and sometimes the Lord dispenses special mercy. And my conversation with Shiva Maharaj, I said, I can understand, because I'm going to read a verse, and the verse in the purport to today's verse from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, most emphasis is given to the association with a devotee. And I can understand studying the history of Gopakumara, and I spoke about this on Wednesday. Gopakumara, he took his birth in Govardhan. And this verse today says, in that, excuse me, two verses, he said, "You showed me no mercy, and as I considered this, I grew impatient, full of anxiety to receive your favor, so I transgressed my eternal code of conduct and arranged for you to take your current birth." So his usual code of conduct, as he explains in the, and Sadhanatha Goswami explains in the beginning of this purport, is he mostly leaves the responsibility for reforming rebellious jivas to the Vedas and to the Vaishnavas. Mostly, they are entrusted that responsibility. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, a verse I oftentimes quote, that by the dust of the lotus feet of my pure devotees, I desire to purify the entire material world which is situated within me, and thus I always follow in the footsteps of my devotees, who are always glorifying me, who are always equally disposed towards everyone, who are always undisturbed in all circumstances. Krishna says, my devotees, I entrust my devotees with this service to purify the material world. And therefore, even I will follow in their footsteps to take their dust. This was Krishna saying. So in general, Krishna entrusts it to his devotees. And as he says, he entrusts the process of reformation to the Vedas. Who were the carrier of the Vedas? Well, we know the whole conversation that took place between the Yamadutas and Yamaraj and the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. There was a whole discussion about reformation and how the Yamadutas thought they were perfectly complying to the Vedas, and the Vishnudutas came in and said that not only perfectly complying to the Vedas, but were perfectly complying to the will of Yamaraj. And the Vishnudutas came in and explained, yes, what are the principles of the Vedas, which are specifically used in the process of reformation of the rebellious jivas in the material world? Certainly they are there. But if somebody chants the holy name of the Lord without offense at the time of giving up his body, then there's some special mercy. He's invoking some special mercy that the Lord, who's, we're carrying that mercy, and although you're applying everything in accordance with Yamaraj, and Yamaraj also explained to the Yamadutas the whole conversation, we've gone through it before, saying that the principles of religion are ultimately coming from Krishna. He's the final determinant. And of course, that's for somebody who chants Narayan's name. But in the verses that we've just read, the Lord said, you didn't even chant my name. I was looking for every possibility, come and get you, to arrange from you, but you didn't chant my name, Narayan. You avoided me, turned away from me, birth after birth, and you didn't even chant my name in jest. And therefore, I had to, as he says, I had to make a special arrangement for you. And why? Why did he make that special arrangement? It's causeless mercy. It's just causeless mercy. Why did Gopakumara get it and somebody else didn't get it and somebody else does get it? It's just causeless mercy. Why? There's not a question of asking why except causeless mercy, because sometimes, though rare, sometimes Krishna does it. Why does Krishna do it? Well, maybe because to inspire us to be hopefully, I could definitely use some causeless mercy too. And when I hear about it, Gopakumara, and when I hear about Arjamil, and when I hear about, of course, Arjamil, as I said, is a different category. It's not quite the same. And Prabhupada says the same thing. He said, although we should expect Krishna's mercy, we should expect it. And there's good reason to expect it, because he gives it sometimes. He just gives it sometimes. So there's a good reason to expect it. So Prabhupada says, okay, so there's a good reason to expect it, but don't just sit and wait for it. You better do something if you want to get it. Just like a student in school, he doesn't think he's going to get, the opportunity to, what is it called? What Prabhupada called it? An honorary degree. He's got to do the work. Maybe I'll get an honorary degree. But he just didn't think, oh, I'm going to get an honorary degree. He got an honorary degree. I should get an honorary degree. I deserve it. No, you don't deserve it because you think you deserve it. He got it because he didn't think he deserved it. So somehow, there is some special mercy. And taking all of this evidence into account, it seems very clear that he got special mercy from Jayanta when Krishna says, Narada Narayan said, I became your spiritual master, Jayanta. We could take it either way. Yes, he became his spiritual master, Jayanta. He personally came, but also the spiritual master is good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should be worshipped as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that he's the external manifestation of the super soul within the heart. So whatever the case, whether it was Krishna personally came down or Krishna sent Jayanta, just as Radharani sent Gopakumara for the Mathura Brahman, Radharani sent Gopakumara to the Mathura Brahman because he was worshipping goddess Kamakya, who was an expansion of Radharani. So Radharani took interest in him and said to Gopakumara, hey, why don't you go and give mercy? So the word that is used and the reference which is given in this verse today is a quote from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I would like to read this verse from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, seventh chapter, 42nd verse. And and the commentary is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his commentary, where he explains special mercy is the devotee. We have to accept that's one way to get special mercy is from a devotee. One is from the Lord, another is from the devotee. So I'll read the verse. It's Yesham sa esha Bhagavan dayayed ananta saravatmana shrita pado yadi nirvyalikam te duscharam atitaranti cha devamayam Naisham mamaham itidi svashing shigala bhakshe. Before I read the translation, I was starting to make a point before, but I didn't make it. And I want to make it now because it's also connected to this verse. And the point that I was making before and didn't complete it was that Gopakumara, he took birth in Govardhan. And as the verse said today, he said, so I transgressed my eternal code of conduct and arranged for you to take your current birth. My dear boy, in that divine district of Govardhan, my most beloved abode, I myself became your guru known by the name Jayanta. So, when Gopakumar took his birth in Govardhan, I spoke about this a little bit last time, he was associating with his cowherd boyfriends, and they saw while on Govardhan Hill and with the cows on Govardhan Hill, because he was actually, Sanatha Goswami, I think, makes the point that Gopakumara was herding his own cows, which seemed to indicate that his father was wealthy, because he had his own cows to take to pasture. So he took birth from a wealthy father who was also a cowherder in Govardhan, and he and his friends would go out to the pasturing grounds with their cows, and they saw this Brahmin who was absorbed in calling out the names of God, Krishna. Different names, he was calling them out. He was in ecstasy. Sometimes he would fall on the ground. He would be sobbing, tears in his eyes. Sometimes he would lose consciousness. He manifested symptoms like this repeatedly again and again, and the boys became attracted to him. They saw him in this way. And not only that, but sometimes this Brahmana, who was Jayanta, he would approach them personally, and he would embrace them, and he would cry. Because when he was looking at these boys, he was seeing these boys as non-different from Gopal. He was seeing them as cowherd boys. So he would cry and embrace them with tears. He showed so much affection to them. And they were a little captivated, as Gopakumar explains in the first chapter. They were captivated by this Brahmin. But he, even more than his friends, took personal interest in this Brahmin, and he started to bring him milk and yogurt and butter, and he started providing with his wares as a cowherd boy, which he had regular access to, and he even started to help him in different ways, carrying things for him, and he was somehow attracted to him. Now, he didn't know why he was attracted to him, but he was attracted to him. And because he was attracted to him, then Jayanta took some personal interest in him. And Sanatha Goswami explains in the commentary that we think that Jayanta, his spiritual master, was accepting the services of Gopakumara because he needed them. He didn't need them. He was self-realized. He was very unpretentious. He was very merciful. He was dispensing causeless mercy to Gopakumara. And he just said to Gopakumara, not because he was thinking, oh, you did this for me, I'll do this for you. It was not that kind of an affair. And Sanatha Goswami brings that point up in the commentary. It was causeless mercy. He said to Gopakumara, I have something I'd like to give you. And he said, go take bath in the Yamuna. Come back and I'll give you this something very, very valuable. So this causeless mercy. And the word in this verse is nirvyalikam. Nirvyalikam means it was like unpretentious, no conditions. It was just mercy. So Jayanta just said, please come after taking bath and I'll give you this mantra. So he gave Gopakumara the Gopal mantra. And then he was going to explain to him about the mantra, the method of chanting the mantra. But simply by thinking about him, simply by meditating on the name, he fell into ecstatic trance and he just went away and he left. And there was no explanation, no nothing. Just here's the mantra. And that's it. And somehow Gopakumara had the sukriti to accept that causeless mercy. And he began chanting the mantra. And as he was chanting it, as we know, Jayanta appeared to him at different times and different places and gave more instruction and more instruction. So yes, my point is that Gopakumara got mercy by his association with Jayanta, who is non-different from Krishna. But he also got mercy. He also got mercy because he took his birth in Govardhan. Why? Lord Narayan says, I had to make a special arrangement for you. I had to find a way to favor you. I was in anxiety to you. I was in anxiety about you. And he even said, I was looking for your favor. I was looking, there must have been something. I was looking for your favor. So Govardhan is where you took your next birth. In Govardhan, yes, then Jayanta came. So we may ask, why Govardhan? I've already explained it. Causeless mercy, special mercy. The Lord sometimes gives special mercy. Why? It's causeless. Don't try to. It's not going to be spelled out so clearly. The best way to spell it out is causeless mercy. And now we will read this verse from the second canto of the Bhagavatam, which talks about this causeless mercy, which generally comes from the devotee, but also comes from the Lord. Okay, second canto, 7th chapter, 42nd verse. I read the Sanskrit, I won't read it again. The translation. Those to whom the infinite Lord shows mercy, when they attain devotees who are surrendered completely to the lotus feet of the Lord and who have no material desires, cross the insurmountable ocean of Maya and understand the Lord. They are devoid of the intelligence which thinks in terms of, quote, my body, and, quote, and the, quote, bodies of my family members, which are worthy food for dogs and jackals. Commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. If you cannot know the Lord, then realization of him is without foundation. That is answered in this verse. Only those persons to whom the Lord shows mercy, saying, let these persons know me, cross the ocean of Maya and know the Lord. The Shruti says, Nayamatma Pravachanena Labhyo Namidya Na Bahuna Shritena Yam Evaisha Vinute Tena Labhas Tasyaisha Atma Vivinute Tanum Svam. The Lord is not attained by speaking or intelligence or much hearing. The Lord is attained by that person alone whom the Lord chooses. He reveals his own form to that person. Mundaka Upanishad 3:2-3. Continuing. What are the symptoms of his mercy? There should be persons without desires, nirvyalikam, who take shelter of the Lord's feet with indifference to karma and jnana. The principal function of his shakti or mercy is to manifest pure bhakti. That pure bhakti is manifested in people by his devotees. Thus, mercy is obtained by getting association of devotees. If they attain that association, then they cross Maya and attain knowledge of the Lord. Gaining knowledge of the Lord is indicated by the word cha. By what symptoms should Maya's affliction and freedom from that affliction be known? One thinks of me and mine, of one's own body and the bodies of children and others, which are worthy food for dogs and jackals. Those who attain mercy are free from this conception. Here, specific emphasis is the devotee. Specific emphasis, yes, it comes from the devotee. And as we said, that yet nothing, even the mercy of the devotee, can be achieved without the mercy of the Lord. The Lord has to agree to give that mercy. And if we read, it's a long explanation. I won't read it. But it's a very, very nice explanation given in Madhurya Kadambini. I already summarized it to some degree, which explains the meaning of causeless mercy and how causeless mercy manifests through the devotee who is the carrier of Krishna's mercy. And Krishna extends his mercy, and his mercy follows behind the mercy which the devotee carries. Prabhupada uses the same example of the rain cloud. The rain cloud is not distributing its own water, it's taking the water from the ocean. In the same way, the Vaishnava is not distributing his own mercy, he's distributing the mercy which is ultimately coming from Krishna. It's Krishna's mercy, which sometimes comes, most of the time comes, I should say, through his devotees, and rarely, under rare circumstances, from Krishna. Some special mercy. That special mercy, somehow, Gopakumara got, and therefore, he took his birth in Govardhan. And Govardhan is such a wonderful place. Not only is it an auspicious place for all the reasons we've talked about in the past, about the glories of Mathura, the glories of Govardhan, but also it is that place where such devotees who are always engaged in meditating on, remembering, and dispensing causeless mercy to others. We find them there generally, just as we oftentimes quote the verse, Prabhupada would oftentimes quote the verse, that when one goes to places of pilgrimage, he should not go to such places of pilgrimage simply to think that it is sufficient to take bath in those places. But the best purpose for going for such places of pilgrimage is to hear from the saintly devotees who are there. Such persons who go simply to take bath, they are considered to be no better than a cow or an ass. So certainly Govardhan is a place which this mercy from the devotees is also so accessible, especially during this time, of course. And I indicated in the last class how fortunate we were that, quoting the verse spoken by a Yudhishthira Maharaj to Vidura, that saints of your caliber are verily holy places personified, because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart. Wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage. So, by Prabhupada's grace, we didn't know anything about Mathura. We didn't know anything about Govardhan. And as we read about, and as Yashomati Nandan Prabhu described in his prayer to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I don't know Krishna. All I know is you. I'm ready to lose my legs for you. I'm ready to lose everything for you. All I know is you." And somehow that is also causeless mercy, that Prabhupada, although we knew nothing about Mathura, we knew nothing about Govardhan, we didn't take our birth. Where did we take our birth for most of us? Certainly in not a very auspicious place. Certainly there was no divine special mercy dispensed to us for our birth. We got someplace, well, of course, we took birth in Kali Yuga, which is some special mercy, which is spoken about in the Bhagavatam. Those who take birth in Kali Yuga, there's some special mercy, because in Kali Yuga, then this Kaler Dosha Dede Rajanasti Hiku Mahadkana Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vajet. It's an ocean of all bad faults, but Kali Yuga at least has one redeeming quality, that somehow, by Prabhupada's grace, not only did he bring us Mathura, not only did he bring us Govardhan, but he brought us the holy name of the Lord, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana, directly imported from the spiritual world. Divine dispensation. Divine dispensation. So, we're fortunate. We're fortunate. And so we should not start questioning, well, why didn't I take birth in Mathura? Why didn't I take birth in Govardhan? Well, see, it happens. Now, let's, as Prabhupada says in Nectar of Ocean, let's go for that. Although we can expect it and hope for it. Am I back? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Good marriage.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. But somehow, I don't even remember where I was. I was just talking about Raghunath Das Goswami's prayers to Govardhan. Yes.
You were talking about don't try for an honorary degree.
Yes. Yes. Well, we can try for it, but we should do something to try for it. We shouldn't just sit and wait for it. And trying for it means hearing, chanting, associating, remembering, meditating upon, and somehow praying. All of these methods are all suitable methods to invoke some special mercy. And the more we become eager for it, the more we become greedy for it, then the more opportunities we may get to be able to somehow invoke some special mercy from the Lord, and maybe some special mercy from the devotee of the Lord. And that's the special mercy that I wanted to speak about, that I alluded to about a week ago, about special mercy. And I'm going to stop here, and we're going to begin chanting japa. And I'm expecting very shortly we'll chant until Doyle Gauranga comes, and he will play mridanga, and we will chant Dhammadharashtakam prayers together. Today is the first. Is the first day of Kartik in America also?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Yes. Okay. So, he said he would be here at 5:45 or shortly thereafter, which is only just a few minutes. So let's just chant for a few minutes or until he gets here. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Singing Damodar Ashtakam, but I have to go.
Oh, this is you have Niranjan Swami Maharaj.
It's online on Zoom now. He's in India.
Oh, he's in India?
Yes. He's
ladies, your microphone should be off, please.
Thank you.
I'll read the translation and then we'll end. To the Supreme Lord, whose form is the embodiment of eternal existence, knowledge, and bliss, whose shock-shaped earrings are swinging to and fro, who is beautifully shining in the divine realm of Gokul, who, due to the offense of breaking the pot of yogurt that his mother was churning into butter, and then stealing the butter that was kept hanging from a swing, is quickly running from the wooden grinding mortar in fear of Mother Yasoda, but who has been caught from behind by her, who ran after him with greater speed. To that Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Seeing the whipping stick in his mother's hand, he is crying and rubbing his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes are filled with fear, and the necklace of pearls around his neck, which is marked with three lines like a conch shell, is shaking because of his quick breathing due to crying. To this Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, whose belly is bound not with ropes, but with his mother's pure love, I offer my humble obeisances. By such childhood pastimes as this, he is drowning the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy, and is revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge of his supreme majesty and opulence that he is only conquered by devotees whose pure love is imbued with intimacy and is free from all conceptions of awe and reverence. With great love, I again offer my obeisances to Lord Damodar hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for the boon of impersonal liberation, nor the highest liberation of eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon which may be obtained by executing the nine processes of bhakti. O Lord, I simply wish that this form of yours as Balagopal in Vrindavan may ever be manifest in my heart. For what is the use to me of any other boon besides this? O Lord, your lotus face, which is encircled by locks of soft black hair, tinged with red, is kissed again and again by Mother Yasoda, and your lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. May this beautiful vision of your lotus face be ever manifest in my heart. Thousands and thousands of other benedictions are of no use to me. O Supreme Godhead, I offer my obeisances unto you, O Damodar, O Ananta, O Vishnu, O Master. O my Lord, be pleased upon me by showering your glance of mercy upon me. Deliver this poor, ignorant fool who is immersed in an ocean of worldly sorrows and become visible to my eyes. O Lord Damodar, just as the two sons of Kuvera, Managriva and Nalakuvara, were delivered from the curse of Narada and made into great devotees by you, in your form, as a baby tied with rope to a wooden grinding mortar. In the same way, please give to me your own prema bhakti. I only long for this, and I have no desire for any kind of liberation. O Lord Damodar, I first of all offer my obeisances to the brilliantly effulgent rope which binds your belly. I then offer my obeisances to your belly, which is the abode of the entire universe. I humbly bow down to your most beloved Srimati Radharani, and I offer all obeisances to you, the Supreme Lord, who displays unlimited pastimes. Hare Krishna Yadu Bhaprabhu, by your request, I am your servant. So we will allow participants to now unmute themselves, and we will end today's session, and we will resume on Wednesday at 7:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, same time, even though the clocks will change tomorrow, it will be the same time on Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Monday.
Hey.
What did I say? Hello. I never know what day I'm saying.
Wednesday, it doesn't matter.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I know it's not Tuesday because I don't think I'm giving any classes on Tuesdays. Although
Monday.
Tomorrow is Sunday, and tomorrow the clocks change in America. Right? Okay. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.